From the land grant in Urbana, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's April the 25th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market. We'll be joined by Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Farm Bill has been extended by 1 week again. But the Bush administration is not excited about the prospects. And the food fight has taken a political twist, with the Democrats being blamed for the rising costs in the grocery store. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then we'll wrap this week up with a look at biofuels and food security and a bit of wisdom from University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. May contract in the wheat pit down 8¾ cents, $8.50 the settlement price. July at 8.15½, down 8½. In December, futures at $8.49, 7¾ lower. May corn futures 5.77¼, up a penny. July at 5.90¾, up 1¼. And September corn, $6.50, 2 cents higher for the day. December futures at 6.06¾, up 4¾. May soybeans, $13.25¾, down 23 cents. July at $13.37, down 24. August $13.17½, 23½ lower. And November beans at $12.22, a settlement price there, 18½ cents lower for the day. May bean meal at $3.40.90, down $5.30. July at $3.45, down $4.80. May bean oil at $58.97, down $1.20. July at $59.65, $1.22 lower. April live cattle, $92.27½, 2½ cents higher. June futures up 70 at 93.37½. The May feeders at 107.75, 72½ cents higher. And the August contract at $110.65, up a dime for the day. May lean hog, $76.07½, $1.42½ the gain. The June futures up $1.35 at $76.35. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Taking a look at the outside markets now, June crude oil futures at $118.60, up $2.54 for the day. July at $117.65, up $2.43. May ethanol at $2.51 and one-tenth, up a tenth of a cent. And June futures at $2.43, down 2 cents for the day. Natural gas may contract $10.93 and 9 cents, up 14 and 9 cents. June futures at $11.08 and 2 tenths of a cent, up 13 and 9 tenths of a cent. And the propane, a settlement price from yesterday at $1.63½. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,837. That's just about 12 points lower at this hour. And the dollar at 72.75. is up 0.21 for the day. Gold futures are trading the April contract at $887.20 an ounce, up 40, and the May futures up 40 cents as well at $887.30 for the day. There is a Storm Prediction Center has issued a severe thunderstorm watch, rather, for portions of northern, western, and central Illinois. That effective this evening, Friday afternoon and evening until 8 o'clock, hail to 2 inches in diameter. Thunderstorm winds gusting to 70 miles an hour, and dangerous lightning are possible in these areas. In the AM 580 severe weather coverage area, the severe thunderstorm watch includes the following counties in Illinois. They are Livingston, Logan, McLean, and Sangamon counties. Remember, severe thunderstorm watch means conditions are favorable for severe thunderstorms in and close to the watch area. Keep an eye on the sky for threatening weather conditions and stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest weather information and possible warnings. Severe thunderstorms can occasionally and do produce tornadoes.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. We're joined, as we always are, by Mike Zuzulo, and he is in the offices of Risk Management, Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Chained and tied down in the offices.
Oh, chained and tied. Well, you've got to be that way if you're a broker because, man, the market's just moved too much for you not to do that. So here's the question. Is it weather? Is it food security? Or did you have to just tie your shoelace today? What happened?
The third one, Todd. When I tied the shoelace, the market's corrected. So now we're bare feet all of next week. No, I think it is. It's pick your flavor of what it is in any given time. And it seemed like that even though the reports after the close, when we talked to Chicago, one of the comments was, well, the governor of Texas has now asked the United States government to allow it to waive half of its RFS standard for ethanol. And, you know, the U.S. gasoline, they're the largest U.S. gasoline producer by state, and so they're probably one of the biggest, obviously, ethanol blenders by state as well. So, but that was a news story that came out late in the afternoon before the close. It sounded like it was confirmation that the Texas governor was going to do that because the news was out 2 days ago that he was thinking about it, along with the governor and the state legislature of Missouri. So I guess in the big picture, yeah, it's kind of like what Dave and I were talking about this morning, that you've got this demand issue that the folks are not looking at as much. The tight supplies are not looking at snowfall and a foot of snow in South Dakota right now. They've turned their attention more towards the rice market, the wheat market. The demand side looks better, probably because the food prices and fuel prices have garnered so much attention in the media, and policymakers are tripping over themselves to try and do something about it, especially during this election year. So who pays for that typically at these prices especially? It's going to be the futures market, and we could be right back up again on Sunday night if the weather maps turn wet. And especially if they remain cold. I think one of the other things that came through in the noontime maps was some private guys saying, look, we're going to get a rapid warm-up here by middle of the week next week, and so we're not going to lose that much time here in the fields with this rain system coming through.
You know, the president and the governor of Texas would have a vested interest, it would seem, in the oil industry and not be all that willing to... Well, that they might be willing to actually roll back half of that RFS on ethanol. I think blending actually that probably would not take place in Texas just because the pipelines wouldn't allow it. But, boy, that sounds like an ominous threat across the bow of corn futures and the ethanol industry in the nation.
Well, I think when you have the world food policy research people, the Asian Development Bank, the United Nations, about every large non-governmental organization doing reports and issuing news releases that the food and fuel prices being so high are directly related to one another, yeah, it's gonna start to garner attention, especially, like I said, in this political year. And you're right, the transportation issue of the ethanol is a big issue. I guess I was thinking more like the way California is and Texas probably too, with them having such large populations, they'd probably be using a lot intrastate there internally,
right,
along with their refining. So it would be one of those larger states that probably does use quite a bit of corn blended ethanol just to meet their RFS needs.
Hmm. Well, what do you think it all means?
Well, at this point, I think it goes back to the wheat. The wheat is the leader because the wheat was the one that first gave up on ideas that supplies were building and demand was being met, and even demand was going down. You and I have talked about that for the past couple weeks. I think that's probably number one. Number two, it's kind of like we talked about this morning. We hate to beat this dead horse, but with the craziness in this market that we all knew was coming, you know, all the way back to last winter when you and I and Dave were doing these meetings and other folks were doing the meetings, we knew it was going to be crazy. We knew it was going to be volatile. The only answer we have right now is to get bought puts underneath you and leave your cash sales open for a good chunk of your corn right now not just because you're worried about planning, but because the basis is so extremely wide right now, continuing on the idea that we can't really forward contract a lot of 08 corn and really no 09 corn right now. You know, that's one of the few ways we can go ahead and attack this problem and kind of address several different issues that are, quite frankly, all up in the air right now. But wheat is our leader right now still.
And wheat, of course, is in a downtrend. You think it will actually pull corn with it?
We really do think that, but I think the first thing we think is that the wheat is near a bottom here, and we've been saying that for the last 75, 80 cents. But interesting to note here, the Kansas City wheat, July, is only 35 cents premium to the Chicago July. 2 months ago, it was $1.35 premium, and what's important about that is not just the crop conditions, and the weather would suggest that you're going to have a higher premium in Kansas City, but also your protein. Your protein and your hard red wheat is between 11 and 11.5%. The Chicago wheat would be between 8, 9%, maybe 10% on the max side. So if you're looking for protein, you're looking at crop conditions, you're looking at weather, you would think the Kansas City wheat would turn around pretty quickly here and lead the Chicago higher. And that's one of the main things we're watching for next week, along with exactly what the Fed decides to do, whether they stop cutting rates or not, because that's going to depict probably how your funds are going to trade this market for the next 30 or 60 days.
Would you have ever thought that we would be this far into the growing season, not really had corn in the ground, and we would be talking about something other than planting?
It just seems odd. When you ask it that way, no. But did we feel like that there were other factors that could more than offset the weather and the microeconomic factors that control corn and beans? We did feel like those bigger macro things, and especially the policy-making issues of the food versus fuel debate, we had a very strong feeling that that was really going to heat up during this time period.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That'll do it. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Mike. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. We'll continue our conversation about the macroeconomics on Commodity Week this week. Our guest is Ray Jenkins. He's with Cargill out of Eddyville, Iowa. You can hear it at willag.org after 6 o'clock this evening.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, Congress yesterday approved another one-week extension of the 2002 Farm Bill amid claims that conferees are on the threshold of agreement of a draft measure. Marathon meetings on Thursday, however, failed to produce a draft bill. Conferees debated a wide range of issues, including potential payment limits and changes to adjusted gross income eligibility for commodity programs. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says he wants a deal done by the time negotiators leave Washington, D.C. today. And Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says too many lawmakers got involved in the Farm Bill.
This is not going to happen again with the Finance Committee and Ways and Means Committee basically controlling our agenda. They're good people. I don't mean to cast aspersions in any committee around here or anything like that, but they have their agenda. They have their things they want to do. The Ag Committee, we did our work. And as Senator Jambla said, if it had been just our bill and the Ag Bill, we would have been done with this a long time ago.
Yesterday, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer said he is not optimistic that Congress will pass a new farm bill acceptable to the Bush administration, and he slammed lawmakers for delaying reforms. In Schaefer's words, the funding sources they have on the table is unacceptable and will be vetoed by the president. But farm bill conferees have a new funding idea, taking all the offsets needed from an increase in custom user fees. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Bob Goodlatte says Democrats' energy policy is to blame for higher food prices. Goodlatte says mandates for higher ethanol production shifted production away from wheat, soybeans, and rice into corn for ethanol. Says Goodlatte, quote, "The mandate basically says ethanol comes ahead of food on your table, comes ahead of feed for livestock, comes ahead of grains for export." The Food and Drug Administration has released its long-awaited feed rule. It would prohibit the use of high-risk materials from cattle 30 months of age or older from all animal feed. The rule goes into effect next April. Japan says it will not impose a broad ban on U.S. beef after a spinal column was discovered in a shipment from a U.S. processing plant. Japanese spokespersons say the shipment was an isolated case. And the world's largest fertilizer producer, Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan, says first quarter profits have tripled compared with the same period a year ago. Sales in the quarter were $1.89 billion, up 64% from last year's first quarter sales. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our guest on that program this week, Ray Jenkins of Cargill. He's out of Eddyville, Iowa. That airs tomorrow morning on this radio station. And you can hear it on our website if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post it there by just about 6 o'clock this evening. Now, up next, food security has come to the forefront of the international agenda, and many people are blaming biofuels. They're an easy target, but as you'll hear, not an easy answer to why the price of food in some very poor nations has skyrocketed. There are lots of calls these days for governments to divest themselves of biofuels promotion. Many around the globe say the push for diesel made from oil seeds and ethanol made from corn have dramatically increased the price of staple food crops like wheat and rice. University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good says that is not the whole story.
I don't think it does any good to deny the fact that ethanol demand has raised the price of corn. That's what it was intended to do. Increase demand. We require more corn, raises the price. The question then becomes, how much does that higher price of corn contribute to higher food costs? And I think the answer depends on what country you're talking about. For the U.S., where we've looked at a 5% increase in food costs over the last 6 months, probably the cost of raw commodities has been a relatively small portion of that increase. One would guess that all the other energy-related costs, packaging, manufacturing, transportation, have contributed as much or more to the increase in food prices domestically than the price of raw commodities. But I think what we're seeing is maybe a bit of a different picture in the less developed countries, where food is consumed closer to the raw form than it here is in the U.S., so that when we double the price of rice, wheat, corn, that nearly doubles the price of food for some of those countries, and those tend to be extremely low-income countries that are spending 70-80% of their income on food. So I think that's really become the focus now, is the implications for those developing nations where food supplies have become tighter and a lot more expensive. I don't really see the domestic food price as quite as critical at this point.
So the U of I's Darrell Good says demand for corn to make ethanol in the U.S. has reallocated the number of acres available for that crop, and by definition, not available to produce other crops. There is a ripple effect.
But certainly that's not the only factor that's contributed to the higher prices of wheat and rice, for example. I mean, it's easy to point to some shortfalls in production on wheat that now seems to be correcting itself. It looks like we're on the verge of maybe producing a big wheat crop here. Rice is a little bit of a conundrum in my mind. When you look at the numbers worldwide, production was pretty big this past year. Stocks look to be fairly abundant, but we've seen huge price increases, and I think that is more of a reflection of what's happening with food policy. We're seeing countries curb their exports. I think we're seeing some hoarding of rice, so that we're contributing to a tight available supply situation because of those actions, not so much because the overall supply is a lot tighter, but there seems to be a bit of a hoarding mentality developing in a lot of the producing countries at this point.
Worldwide demand for food is the primary driver in the wheat and rice markets. Biofuels are a good scapegoat, but by no means have alone pushed the price of staple crops to new, unbelievable, record-high prices. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 7 East Central Illinois elevators, and he's located in Ludlow. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
How's the weather in your area, and is it conducive enough at this point to get producers in the field and planting corn?
Very windy. It's warm. We only had 1 to 2 tenths inch rains in general here last night. Actually, the planters have been pretty active for the last few days here, so we'll be making some progress.
You know, have farmers been active in the field and not active in the marketplace then?
Exactly.
And do you think they should be watching both?
I think they're watching things, but we're not at new contract highs. They have been good scale-up sellers into the market for new crop sales. I think they're at comfortable levels right now anyway, and really aren't likely to be a heavy seller of additional new crop bushels until they get it in the ground, get it up, and see what it looks like.
Earlier in this program, we were talking with Mike Zuzulo. He's fearful, I guess, that the wheat market may fold into the corn and things might start to move lower. Or do you have that same fear?
Yes. I look at it this way. We've got enough surplus wheat that we're going to be moving wheat into being a feed grain. And if we're going to start using it to feed, you're not going to see a dollar and a half premium to corn price.
And where would you think producers, or how should they protect themselves against that kind of move? And can they actually sell past January of next year to your elevator system?
Into our system, yes. We're continuing to bid out as far as we're bidding January and March of 2009, and we still have a posted bid for new crop 2009. Now, the actual cash selling into that new crop has been pretty limited. There were sales earlier. Now, I think with the uncertainty of what input costs are, it's more of an informational bid than something that people are jumping all over and selling additional bushels right now.
And your bids for the day are?
We are at 552 for nearby corn, 560 for new crop, beans 1301 nearby, and 1135 new crop.
And finally, if you could give us a quick word, maybe 10 seconds, on what basis did for soybeans.
Soybean basis has improved across the board, both SIF and the processor numbers. We've seen a 10-cent gain in basis indicator in the last week.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Elevators in East Central Illinois. We'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A $91 million proposed budget goes before Champaign City Council members next week. City staff says the 2009 budget includes about $350,000 in cuts in anticipation of lower sales tax revenue in the next year. City Finance Director Richard Schnoor says the budget wouldn't cause an increase in the city's tax rate, but it might have some small effects on some city services. On the other hand, Schnoor says the cuts will not affect basic fire or police service, aside from decisions to extend the service life of some vehicles. Champaign's council will get the details of the budget proposal next Tuesday and vote on it in June. Chicago police are planning a visible show of force this weekend to prevent the kind of gun violence that hit the city last weekend. Department spokeswoman Monique Bond says there will be more patrols on the street, SWAT officers will be deployed, and there will be more gang and tactical units on duty as well. Meanwhile, Mayor Richard Daley had called a City Hall summit of police, community organizers, and religious leaders to discuss the violence and what might be done to stop it. The U.S. Geological Survey says 26 aftershocks have been centered in Illinois since last week's 5.2 magnitude earthquake centered near West Salem in Edwards County. The latest aftershock registered a 3.7 magnitude and occurred about 12:30 this afternoon near Belmont, Illinois. Urbana High School's auditorium is out of service for the time being after a ceiling underneath the balcony partially collapsed. A spokesman says part of the plaster ceiling fell to the floor sometime late last night or early this morning. Nobody was injured and nobody was in the auditorium when it happened. They'll now try to find the cause. Roger Ebert's wife has left open the possibility that the Urbana-born film critic will be able to make it to Champaign by the end of this weekend's Ebert Fest. Ebert decided earlier this week to stay at a Chicago hospital to recover from a hip injury. He continues to write movie reviews for the Chicago Sun-Times and had an active role in planning this year's film festival in Champaign-Urbana, its 10th anniversary. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign and the University of Illinois. On the line with us now is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather sounds like we're going to have a little rough afternoon and maybe some rainfall yet.
Yeah, this is shaping up to be a very interesting-looking weekend overall. You know, we're currently in the 83 at Willard Airport now. It's 80 up at Chicago's O'Hare and 81 at Pontiac in the 70s elsewhere. So very warm spring day, very windy, as you might notice, a little humid. We have a strong cold front headed our way, and storms have now started to erupt again along the front just about at the Mississippi River now. So we'll see those gradually spreading across the state during the afternoon and overnight tonight and then into Indiana later on tonight and early tomorrow. And most areas probably get some quarter to a half inch of rain, and up northern Illinois where things will be a little bit stronger, could pick up to maybe up to an inch and a half to 2 inches in some isolated locations. So looks like we're in for a wet period here. A dry day tomorrow for the most part, but cooler. And then more rain coming in on Sunday as another system approaches, and that one will bring some much colder weather for Sunday night into Monday and Tuesday. And I wouldn't even be surprised to see a few wet snowflakes up in the northern part of Illinois, maybe as far south as central Illinois. Nothing accumulating here, but we might actually see that mixing in with some rain overnight Sunday night, early Monday morning. So big change coming up in the weather.
When you said cooler, I didn't expect snowflakes in that forecast. Cooler tomorrow for compared to today is fairly relative because it's awfully warm, 79 degrees here.
Right,
at the
yeah, we'll probably be down only in the 60s tomorrow. Should get a little bit of sunshine. And tomorrow actually won't be too bad. It's Sunday where things will start going south again. So, and then next week after Monday, after Monday system clears out, it looks like we'll stay for the most part dry. There could be some scattered light showers developing across parts of the state toward the middle part of the week, maybe middle end as another warm front tries to come through. So I think we'll be in a more unsettled period the latter half of next week, but it looks like we could get a couple dry days in the middle part of next week, so planning can continue.
Good news is the rainfall totals as they come in have been lower than they were in previous months.
And right.
I suppose we'll dry out eventually.
Yeah, we will eventually. In fact, for April, the northeastern quarter of Illinois has actually been running a little bit below normal for precipitation. Hasn't made much of a difference because we had so much rain the last few months, but overall it's been relatively dry there while most of the rest of the states had more than enough precipitation. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get a period here where we can really keep some dry weather until we really need the rain. But right now it looks like we'll be dodging it off and on for the next week or so.
Anything else we should take up before I let you go for the day?
No, I think it's about it.
All right. Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located right here in Champaign County, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. From the University of Illinois, the land-grant institution in the land of Lincoln. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon. Stay safe out there this weekend and as you go through the growing season.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.